Well, boys and girls, we made it past Friday the 13th and the full moon. There was also a movie called Saturday the 14th. We made it past Saturday the 14th, and now it's Monday the 16th, the official end of summer coming in a few days, although we had temperatures above 90 in our listening area within the last week.
Like Boca Raton.
Yeah, it's actually been warmer than it has been in Boca Raton, and Boca Raton is the home of Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, and since I call him Ron, you know, this must be Adam, because you know Scott calls him something else, and as a listener, well, maybe you have your own name for him, but around here, he's just good old Ron, as we shoot the breeze and talk political, presidential, and other pertinent topics of interest on a fine or a mid-morning coffee break with Adam, which is I, and the professor. So let's make sure we've properly duct taped all the wires together. Ron, how are you doing on this fine Monday morning?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Not too bad. So on good. Friday the 13th with the full moon, any unusual things happen at the Feynman household, or was it pretty much a normal day over there?
Well, it was a working day. I was teaching morning and afternoon, so I was very busy. So unfortunately, I did not have the chance to listen to the interview of Scott Spears with Sheriff Arpaio. I will listen to it, but I did not have the chance. But I gather you were quite impressed by it, huh?
Yeah, he was very nice and tells it like it is. You know, I like that aspect of him. He's a controversial character, and not surprisingly, you are not exactly enamored with his policies. But
no, not in the past, no. But I haven't heard the interview, so I can't comment on that.
But listeners, again, listen to our archives under Scott Spears, The Morning Show, and The Now program. I have placed a recording of his interview with Sheriff Joe Arpaio in that directory. Provide your opinions, you know, good or bad. He certainly is someone who will elicit opinions. But again, whether you love him or you hate him, he's very well spoken. He tells it like it is. And doesn't try to hide anything. There's one man who doesn't plastic coat anything, and we probably need a little more of that. And that quality, again, regardless of your opinion on his stands and what he's done, we do admire that.
I wanted to mention he's running for the Senate again, isn't he? Trying to win a Senate seat in Arizona next year. Am I correct?
He's running for sheriff again.
Sheriff. Okay, I want to point out that he is 87 years old. I've never heard of a sheriff that would be 88 and a half at the time he took the oath, or even in the Senate when he was trying and did not get very far. He's really old, but he's very alert for his age.
Yeah, he's very well-spoken, believe me. I know he was up there. You would never think he was that old, honestly. I've heard 60-year-olds.
Actually, get this. He's born the same day as Donald Trump. Not the same year, but June 14th, 1932, and Trump is 14 years younger than him. But he'll be 88 next June, and, of course, Trump would be 74. Wow.
Yeah, without
question.
Actually,
the same birth.
Yeah, he's there. He doesn't miss a beat, that guy. And you have 38-year-old Scott interviewing a sheriff who's pushing 90, and he doesn't miss a beat. And again, that's something else that I think
hope
is
I'm the same way when I reach that age. Wow.
And you know, does a lifetime career in law enforcement, especially when you're a controversial law enforcer, does that age you or keep you young? I say it probably keeps you young, as you need to be alert, you need to be in good physical shape. And
yeah, I want to point out he's been married since 1958, so his wife has tolerated him for 60 years already, so must be something going well there.
I also admire him for being dedicated to his wife and having good old-fashioned values. But again, in terms of his standpoints and what he's done, well, I leave it to you, the listener, to form your own opinions. Again, he doesn't pull any punches. You know how he feels. And I think we need more people like that, as opposed to the, you know, politicians and sometimes other law enforcement officials. You're not quite sure what they're thinking, but that isn't the case with Sheriff Joe, and it was very kind to him to talk to Scott. It was, I believe, 6:30 in the morning his time when he did the interview, because he's in Arizona.
Wow.
And it was 9:30 here, so he also, comparing him to myself, I wouldn't be so alert at 6:30 in the morning to talk to someone like Scott. You never know what kind of questions Scott is going to ask. So
You know what it is, when you're on the phone or on the interview or you're teaching or you're lecturing, you get up. Even if you're tired, you put on a performance. I've had people say to me, how do you do it, like on a Friday when I'm teaching most of the day? I say, I'm weary after, but you put on a performance. You're on stage, in a way. So I think his on the phone or on the radio station is also the same thing.
Yeah, I don't think he knew really what to expect from Scott, but he's heard everything. He never yelled or raised his voice. I didn't hear anything even remotely resembling a swear word. So calm, wow. Cool, and collected. Obviously an intelligent man who hasn't lost one bit. I don't think he's lost anything from his mind in the last 30 years. So,
wow.
You got to love that about him. I mean, I'm hoping I'm that alert when I'm pushing 90. But again, his opinions are divisive, and we invite you to form your own opinion. And if you don't already know what Sheriff Joe's opinions are, you will probably know them after you listen to the interview. So we do encourage you to do that. Of course, several days ago, we had the 147th debate of the Democratic candidates. and that certainly elicited many responses, but I think even bigger news is the next debate is going to take place in a location literally that I could walk to from my house, Otterbein University. I literally could walk there in about 20, 25 minutes if I walk briskly.
In the Columbus, Ohio area. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so it'll be in my backyard with Mayor Pete and Pocahontas and Bernie. You know, there's a lot of barbershops actually in Westerville, Ron. You think Bernie will stop it?
Do you think there's any chance Scott will try to get some of these people to be on his show?
Oh, Scott would get anybody he could, believe me. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Try to get Mayor Pete and Elizabeth Warren. That'd be great, you know?
That would be an interesting. But what I was going to say is, Ron, there are actually a lot of barbershops in Westerville. Do you think Bernie's going to stop for a haircut before he gets on stage and try to look a little more presentable? Or, you know, is that Albert Einstein look of his? Is that kind of part of his image? Because I've heard his supporters say they like that he's grouchy. They like his messy hair. They like his accent. People actually like that about the guy. He's kind of a cult figure, kind of a I forget the word. But he has that lovable nature about him that some of his supporters say.
It's interesting. Young people like him. I would think young people would like a Pete or a Julian who are much younger. I'm surprised they like a guy who's really could be their grandfather, not just their father. You know, I am shocked by that. Even in 2016, the younger generation at all, but a lot of them really liked him, and it always amazes me. And yet they're not as thrilled about Joe Biden, who's the same age, 1 year difference.
Yeah, it's so many.
He gets older voters like him more, Joe Biden.
so many contrasts. Yeah, if you're an old school Democrat, more than likely Biden will be your person. But you know, Sanders, it's a hodgepodge of people who like him. But it seems to be a younger demographic. Now, I would say it's younger people who think they're entitled, and many ways are just lazy because they think that Bernie is Santa Claus. And you and I know, Ron, that isn't the case.
And that's not funny, though, with his white hair, he could be Santa Claus if he got the right uniform on.
And that's not the way our country is run. Socialism does not work in this country. I understand that Scandinavia and countries that have a socialist leaning, and I say leaning, meaning Canada, they're not. They lean socialist in some ways, especially with.
Well, actually, we lean socialist, so we have Social Security and Medicare,
right.
Things like that. That's socialist.
We have policies. We've talked about, Ron, we have policies that are social, but I don't see any. Even 1% of a leaning towards socialism, and even saying Canada leans socialism—that's kind of tricky. Also, it's mainly because of Trudeau, because he is so far to the left, and but obviously the Scandinavian socialism that comes up a lot. It doesn't work here, in my opinion. I'm not saying I'm right. I was a chem major, not a government major, but I think as a business person, I understand the economy enough to know what will work in this country, and we are a capitalist country with social policies, which, as Ron and I agree, is not the same as socialism. And those qualities about Sanders, as some people like, it's not a big deal. I don't really find them attractive. He's not a good speaker. He's very annoying. I think Ron and I kind of agree with that. I mean, grumpy, well, all candidates are grumpy, especially with the time they spend on the campaign
trail. Joe Biden laughs, even with this event with Julian Castro. He smiles and he brushes it off. He's such a nice guy. He never really gets angry, at least that we've ever seen him. He's so different. He's such a cool guy. That's why I think a lot of people love Joe, because he's so much like an average guy that you could imagine getting along with, you know?
Right. Joe is a likable person, and you kind of contrast that with Sanders, as they are a similar age. And some of the fringe qualities, we're both very fond of his wife. And you don't elect the first lady, but you look at the family, you know, Melania, she's a divisive figure. You know, we understand she's in a difficult situation, especially the mother of a young son. We agree she's beautiful. And Ron and I may not agree as to her image, but in general, she's not a bad person. She's not evil. It's just what kind of a role does she play versus the roles of someone like Hillary, who is the first lady with a graduate degree. Talked about on the last show.
That I wanted to bring up that there was a time this past week that Trump spoke about his wife and said, "My wife's son, Barron." People wonder, why are you calling your son Barron my wife's son? Making some people wonder if he's the father of Barron. It's a really weird statement on the part of Donald Trump to call him my wife's son. Why would he say that?
I guess with the way his mind works, he doesn't want to confuse Barron with his half-siblings, but he could have said, my and Melania's son, but that would have been more work. Yeah. That's the best I can think of, is that he has people that are half siblings. I don't know, but Barron.
John's the one thing. When you look at Barron, you realize he looks like his mother. Doesn't look much like his father. Maybe the father is not Donald Trump. Who knows? Well, it makes you wonder. Anyway,
if you were, I think he's about 14 or 15. If you were a 14-year-old, would you want to look like Melania, or would you want to look like Donald? Who would you want to look like?
Well, of course, but it's just like Prince Harry really doesn't look like Prince Charles, and some people think he's not the father, because he really doesn't resemble the family
at all.
And
once again, Ron, would you rather look like Prince Charles, or would you rather look like Lady Di?
And also, Bill Clinton's daughter, Chelsea, there were rumors that Bill Clinton was not the father. I forgot the name of the aide to the Clintons, who looks a lot like Chelsea. I think he died since. I don't remember his name. But there's some people wondering if Bill Clinton's daughter is really his daughter also. Of course, it's all speculation. You're never going to know otherwise. It makes you wonder, you know.
I have two words, Maury show, and get a DNA test, because that's what a lot of people seem to be doing. I would say that, you know, Prince Charles, you know, I don't know the guy well. I know he's a good man. I heard he has a great sense of humor, but I will say that between him and Lady Di was certainly the pretty one. Again, back when he was younger, when they got married, and Lady Di, I mean, tragic story. I just think of her as someone who'd be 75 years old and she'd still be beautiful. Her features were just perfect. And what a beauty. And not that Meghan is not also very beautiful. I mean, the royal wives, they're always lookers. I'm not, these royals are lucky, I
think. He is also, yes. Yeah.
But yeah, you never quite know. I would say that Prince Harry looks more like his mom and Prince William looks more like his father. And I would say Prince Harry is probably lucky, because I'd much rather look like Lady Di. But we shall find out. Talking about presidential politics and news, debates, and anything else we can manage to scrounge up with our official WWGH presidentologist, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman. As I mentioned earlier, Ron, I'm in the process of reading your book about presidential assassinations. I did the Garfield, I guess you don't really do a book, you read a book, or you peruse a book. So I perused the Garfield chapter. That was quite interesting.
A real sad.
Was not aware of that. Essentially, Garfield had been stalked by a complete, I hate to mention that, how else to say, a complete wacko, and wacko would be putting it mildly, a complete wacko.
And he was a brilliant guy. He could have been an outstanding president, and I think he's the biggest loss, more than Lincoln or Kennedy, because they had a record already, you know, at least they had accomplished. Well, he had no time. He only had a few months before he was shot. Garfield would have been good, but the one thing is he survives, and Garfield is a cat, the comic. That's the good thing, right?
Yeah, just didn't didn't realize.
You don't like Garfield, right?
Yeah, very smart guy, Garfield, and it's a shame. Just not unlike Kennedy. Yeah. I mean, Kennedy is more recent. What could have been if this gentleman would have served an eight-year presidency? Really a shame.
Even McKinley, we just passed the McKinley death. Both died in September. September 14th, McKinley died in 1901, and September 19th, Garfield died in 1881. So, I mean, McKinley, Teddy Roosevelt became president, in 1901, 18 years ago, a couple of days ago, you know? Yeah.
And we talk briefly about Lincoln last show, and there are everybody knows basic things about Lincoln, but there's the more fringe information, and a lot of the reason why people feel he was our greatest president is all the adversity, and it took a lot of, as you say, cojones to follow through with his desire to end slavery. He didn't end it directly, but what he did certainly was the main vehicle, the main turning point for this tremendous change in our system. If Lincoln were not, just to totally digress, Ron, before we get to current events, because you know things from 150 yeah. years ago are still very interesting, and you certainly know more about them than I do.
Yes,
if Lincoln were not president when he were president, or if he were a different kind of president, and there were no Emancipation Proclamation. He just said, let's just keep slavery, and that's how it is. How long do you think slavery would have lasted? And how would that have affected even equal rights to this day?
I think slavery, well, actually, the thought of many people was that slavery was dying out in the South because of agriculture, and you know that it wasn't something long-term. So the thought is it would have lasted to the end of the century, around 1900, but then it would have become wage slavery instead. A lot of these people would have ended up working in factories and being slaves still, but not in so much in agriculture as much as industry. And then, of course, there are those who say most wage earners in this country are, quote, slaves anyway because they don't get paid well, generally, the minimum wage and everything else, and that most people really are like slaves, but not slaves. You know what I'm saying? That most workers don't get paid very well in this country. So it depends how you define slavery. But supposedly the thought was that even Lincoln thought slavery would end by the end of the 19th century, but he thought it was necessary to end it sooner.
Right. Now, I understand many people are overworked and underpaid, including people in broadcasting, which is a field that doesn't pay as well yeah. as many people think that it does. But like any job, if you don't like where yeah. you work, it is America, get a different job or start your own business. Not everybody has the ability to do that, and there will be people that will have a life at or near poverty, which is a shame. However, there still is no slavery, and there is a difference between work being forced to work for free, being whipped if you don't work.
Of course, yes.
Being bossed yeah. around and even being threatened with your life or serious injury if you don't do what your master says. Being sold like you're a piece of furniture at Walmart. That's different from being under the general headline of working poor. And yes, with the country becoming industrialized toward the turn of the century, meaning the 1900s, we could have people being slaves in factories versus farms, but it still is slavery. But you're kind of saying, surprisingly, Ron, 1900, and you're talking about a time when the oldest people in the world right now were born shortly after 1900. That period of time could still have slavery, and that's, you're talking 35 years after the Civil War.
Yes,
that's kind of surprising. So, if anything, Ron, that cements the fact.
Segregation came in, organized segregation, Jim Crow laws. So that replaced slavery, which is a different kind of oppression. And
correct.
That went on until the 1960s with the Civil Rights laws passing. Yeah.
So do you see everything kind of pushed back 30, 40, 50 years if the Lincoln presidency would not have happened? And you're talking 30, 40, 50 years from 1960. Yeah. That's current time. And that would make a tremendous difference. So, if anything doesn't cement in people's minds that Lincoln was quite likely our best president, I don't know what else.
Yes.
I don't know what else does. He had many.
He absolutely was. Well, there are some people who are Southerners, you know, in tradition, who hate him because they wanted a separate Southern nation. So I've met a few people who said Lincoln's the worst president. I give them a look and I move on. I don't get into a fight with anybody, but I think that's crazy. But if you have the Southern tradition, you might feel that way.
I mean, Lincoln had adversity from almost the time he was born. He had Marfan syndrome. And
yes. He probably would have died of that if he hadn't been assassinated, maybe during the term, because he did have real heart issues, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I did see an article, I think I might have sent you the reference, Ron, of medical issues of presidents. And again, in the 1800s, medicine wasn't like it was now. We still have Marfan syndrome. It can't be cured, but at least the symptoms can be controlled to some extent. And it's somewhat, you know, relatively common among tall, thin men like Lincoln. And back in those days.
Or basketball players, I guess.
I mean, back in those days, I mean, something like pneumonia could be fatal, not to mention care.
Anything could be fatal.
After
an
injury.
Disease. That's why the average person could not live to John Adams' age. He was 90 years old. It was amazing to live to the age of 90 and die in 1826. But very few. But now it's becoming common. And I remind you, in a few more weeks, Jimmy Carter will reach 95, the oldest president ever. He's already, but he will actually reach a new number. So it's absolutely amazing. And he's had cancer, but he's been in remission for 3+ years, and it's just amazing. It really is.
Yeah, and the article about presidents and their medical issues was quite fascinating. I'm sure, Ron, you know all the medical issues of all the presidents, but you don't realize.
Yeah, a lot of them had depression, by the way. We now conclude. A lot of them had. It's a tough job.
You know, again,
a lot of them wasn't always diagnosed, but it is believed a lot of them did. You know,
and among Lincoln,
and they also lost children. A lot of them because they had a lot of children. A lot of them died early. So I mean, there were a lot of things to be a lot of sorrow. Yes.
And we've mentioned earlier, but not sure how to say this politely on the air, but Mary Lincoln was. Let's see. I don't like to say the word that rhymes
deranged.
I don't want to say the word that rhymes with switch, so let's just say she wasn't really the most doting and most sweet wife out there.
No, but she also lost 3 sons, and so did Lincoln. 3 out of their 4 sons did not make it beyond adulthood. So imagine that, 3 of your 4 children. My gosh, only Robert Todd Lincoln lived a full life.
Right, and we obviously had more incidents of childhood diseases like polio and rubella, things that are not really a big deal nowadays because we have vaccines, we have treatment. Care after injuries is obviously easier, but some other differences.
Franklin Pierce had 2 sons. One had died before he got elected. The other one was on the inauguration train coming to D.C., and the train came to a halt, and he fell off the train and was run over by the wheels. So he lost his only son, and his wife, brought the shades together and did not leave the White House for 4 years. She was in total depression, and he started to drink a lot because he lost his only son right before the inauguration.
Right, and again, we recommend listeners, if you have not read Ron's book about presidential assassinations, please do so. It's quite fascinating. You'll learn a lot about the struggles, things previously unknown of these fine gentlemen who served in that office. And again, Lincoln, always an interesting figure. You kind of realize what he did, what his legacy was, and how the country would be, even to this day, if there were no President Lincoln. Ron just saying that in our great-great grandparents' lifetime, we could still have had slavery. We would not have the equal rights that we have now, and probably not have a president like Obama in very recent memory.
No, we would not have. I don't think so. That's correct. But look, even having a Catholic president took to the 1960s. Always had to be white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant. So we've come a long way with a lot of things still to do. We've come a long way.
Yeah, I remember taking history in school, Ron, as you probably do also. My teacher gave a list of things that the characteristics a president must have by law. 35 years old, natural-born citizen. You don't have to be born in the country. You could be like John McCain or also like myself, born on U.S. property, a military base abroad.
Yes. Although Trump wants to change that now. He wants to change that if you're born overseas to your diplomat parents or military parents, you're not automatically a citizen. I hope that never happens.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, and let's, for the record, say I don't agree with that, as it seems very non-patriotic that if someone is born because your parent is fighting for his or her country,
serving
his or her country, you can't be president. That doesn't make any sense to me. And I think John McCain is in heaven hearing about that and not being very happy, and I wouldn't blame him.
But I'm sure he's not happy with Lindsey Graham either.
And then there are the list of things that the president doesn't by law have to be, but for all intents and purposes does. And we've seen some of these things get crossed off the list. As Ron mentioned, the first one is Protestant. Well, that changed with President Kennedy. Next one's kind of interesting, so we'll skip it for now. So the other one would be a female. We've come close, but so far they've all been men. You have to be white. Well, that no longer has occurred. And again, even the definition of white is tricky because we have found that some of our presidents had a small amount of African ancestry. So
Warren G. Harding is believed to have.
What you consider white, well, it's not pun intended, black and white. But
we're not white anyway. We don't have white paint kind of look.
correct, or white or Caucasian. But again, it's race is a tricky topic because it is isn't exactly 100% or 0%. But certainly with Obama, that we can cross off. You must be white from that list. Another one.
But again, if he had looked like his mother instead of his father, he would have looked white. It just looks like his father. That's the difference. It's just genetics.
The other one,
mixed race.
Other one is you must be heterosexual, and we've talked about Buchanan, who probably wasn't heterosexual, but he wasn't open about it. So even that's kind
and
of
Mayor
a
Pete
kind of a tricky
may
one.
And, possibly have a chance. Yeah.
And if Mayor Pete were to ascend to office, we can cross that one off. Also, again, we don't always know.
We also had two divorced presidents now: Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump. Never had a divorced president before.
Yeah, we don't. Know what presidents do in their private time is sexual orientation is also a bit of a continuum. Certainly there are rumors about two recent presidents, specifically Obama and Clinton. I don't know. I'm not sure I really care what they do in their private time. But in terms of being open about it, we've never had a president who is openly anything but heterosexual. But if Mayor Pete were to be elected, well, that certainly would change. So we've seen.
I already think after this last debate that at least three people probably are lost or knocked out, and maybe two others. If you notice in my article from a couple of days ago, just a gut feeling. I think Joe's going to have trouble because of his slippages. I think Bernie will have trouble, and I think Julian, for the way he dealt with Biden, I think has probably alienated some people, and I think Beto has alienated by what he said about automatic weapons, even though I understand his reasoning, and I think Yang, I think basically for what he was pledging to do, probably turned people off as being a little ridiculous too. So I think probably one of the other five has a better chance now, in my gut feeling.
Right. So we said we've crossed off from this unofficial presidential requirement list. We've seen things being crossed off, and we may see more things being crossed off. Don't quite know. But after every debate, we certainly have a few things to talk about. Never at a loss, for
yes.
words. I previously mentioned, Ron, what I think about Yang and his $1,000 a month. I make no bones about it. It's putting everybody on welfare. I understand that one of my favorite presidents, Tricky Dicky, proposed something similar. Actually, more.
$500 at that point. Yes.
More because the dollar is worthless. Now, and I'm not saying I agree with it by any means. And I don't agree with everything Nixon did, obviously, including the things he did that were illegal. But there are many good things about Nixon. I mean, two main ones. He was a foreign policy.
A Republican calling for $500 a month. That's quite amazing 50 years ago.
Nixon was a foreign policy wizard, and I think his legacy helps presidents and helps the world today in this complicated web of foreign relations. Also an environmentalist, but you know, not a radical environmentalist like AOC with her Green New Deal. He was a practical environmentalist, and
but he wouldn't be happy about the EPA being attacked by Trump. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I don't think Tricky Dicky would be overly thrilled about that, to put it mildly. Certainly, many differences, and as we've talked about, it's hard to believe they're both Republicans as they have absolutely nothing. There's nothing in common. There's nothing in common with those two. I can't think of one thing among those two.
Ronald Reagan with the INF treaty with Gorbachev is now gone because of Trump. And I don't think, and I know at least Ron Reagan Jr. is I don't know as much about Michael, but Ron Reagan Jr. is horrified by Trump. So I don't think Nancy Reagan cared for him either before she passed away. So a lot of these Republicans from years ago, we would probably repudiate him, but the ones now keep quiet. They just go along. That's not going to look good in history.
Talk about in every show, Ron. Donald is something else.
A character.
But we do want to mention, as we mentioned before, during the time that Nixon proposed this $500 payment to Americans, we didn't have the budget deficit we have now. It doesn't mean that I agree with it. I don't see any circumstances where paying a dividend stipend, or can I call it welfare payment, to all Americans is applicable. There's always things we can spend it on. We could also, of course, lower taxes.
All adult Americans. You didn't say all Americans, not children. All adults. Just pointing out the difference.
Yeah, I assume it's tax-paying Americans, but kids can pay taxes. Kids can start a business. I mean, I'm really not sure exactly which Americans it refers to, but it's such a ridiculous idea that it would never pass Congress anyway.
He's giving 10 families $1,000 a month for a year, though, apparently. Yeah, families are going to be lucky, I guess you could say.
That's ridiculous.
That's what he pledged, so at least he's going to do that.
I don't understand that the presidential campaign is now a lottery. I mean, go buy a lottery ticket. Go on The Price is Right if you want to do that. That's not what a presidential candidate should be doing, and he's using campaign funds that people have donated to him. To me, that sounds criminal.
He has his own
that
money.
Sounds
he's
criminal
a, been
to
a
me.
Businessman. He's an entrepreneur. He's using his own money. He's okay. Well-to-do. He's not like he's getting money.
I didn't know, but I know you can't use campaign funds for that, so can't see.
But he is well-to-do from his own
own pocket, he can.
You can admire that.
He's coming across as a complete buffoon, but we've already talked about my opinion of him.
He's managed to make the top 10 to have enough support and enough funding from people to be, at least be in this debate, which Marianne Williamson didn't get, although she might try to do for the next time. But I'm thinking, oh, please, no. I think she really comes across as a loon, you know? Well, I didn't know that at the beginning, but now I really think she's loony.
Well, talk about whack jobs, Williamson. Williamson and Wacko both start with a W. For good reason.
Yeah, but Tom Steyer might be in this debate, apparently, and Tulsi Gabbard is trying to get into the Ohio debate. So he may be up to 12, and it'll mean a divided 6-6 then. It'll have to be not just a 10. So it may be 12 next time. But honestly, some of these people need to drop out. We have too many. It's got to start thinning out, you know, I feel.
So
unfortunately, and also with Beto, it may be starting to thin out.
So in your blog, Ron, theprogressiveprofessor.com, on the 11th, you write, the growing threat to Mike Pence on the 2020 Trump ticket. We've talked about, Ron, how we'd like someone more palatable to us. The two that come to mind are Nikki Haley, Bill Weld, and John Kasich to be vice president instead of Mike Pence.
Even John Huntsman.
You're writing here that Pence essentially is a yes man. He keeps his mouth shut, his thoughts to himself. Now, we agree, one of the vice president's jobs is to be a yes man. That is part of your job. But it's not unacceptable to speak up once in a while. You're not here to ride on the coattails of your president. Has Mike Pence gone overboard in being a yes man, Ron? Does he need to kind of... Because he's not a dumb person. We don't agree with what he has to say, but he is not stupid. I mean,
well, the reports are that he agreed with John Bolton, who was fired, about the idea it's crazy to invite the Taliban to Camp David. And I don't like John Bolton, and I'm glad he's not in the administration. But honestly, I think it's crazy, and apparently he did, and Bolton was fired. So I wonder if there is a breach that we don't know about that hasn't come out. And it could be, because I've read that Ivanka and Jared, the daughter and son-in-law, really want a woman on the ticket. So there may be pressure to take Pence off, and who knows what Donald Trump will do if his daughter and son-in-law are pushing it. So there could be a breach here between him and between Trump and Pence, maybe. We'll have to see what happens in the future, but it's very awkward because he can't fire Pence, but he could decide not to take him on a second term. That's happened a few times.
So the official policy, as we've talked about, Ron, which is different, there are so many unique provisions about the president and vice president. First, the president, while in office, cannot be convicted of a criminal offense. Of course, when he leaves...
That's what the Justice Department says anyway. It's not clear that's historically accurate, but so far that seems to be the case, yes.
And that's a biggie, and what many times will happen is a pardon. Again, Sheriff Arpaio, an example of someone who was pardoned. I mean, it's not the same because he was sheriff, he wasn't president. But
he also wasn't convicted yet. He was pardoned before conviction, right, which is very odd. That's not really the right use of the pardon power. He's supposed to do it after a trial.
But obviously the big one is Nixon. Would Nixon have been convicted of a criminal offense, gone to jail? We don't know. I think he would have been exonerated because the evidence was questionable. But Ford just wanted to get on.
Ford
business.
Ford ruined himself by doing that. If he hadn't done that, he would have been president instead of Carter for the next term, I think.
But again, Ford decided it was not a good idea to dwell on it. Go ahead and it's over and done with. Yes. Pardon Nixon and move on. And that was a time when the economy wasn't very good and some other problems, which seemed to be a higher priority. But again, it more than likely cost him the election, and people like Ron and myself will continue to talk about Ford because never quite know what could have happened.
I like Ford, yeah, I do. But let's say, why did he lose the election? Because he lost Ohio and Hawaii. Again, Ohio is crucial, and it will be next time.
But in terms of the vice president, unlike the myriad cabinet and staff appointments that were shown the door, a president cannot fire the vice president. So today, for example, Ron, and just correct me if I'm wrong, Donald can't call Mike up and say, "Hi, Mike, this is Donald, and under the provisions of at-will employment, you no longer are vice president. Pack up your office."
No,
and
he can't. He
go back
could
to Indiana.
Decide not give him any assignments, ignore him, and make it clear he's not going to have him run with him. That he could do, but he cannot fire him. He could just make him less significant, like Jefferson with Aaron Burr. He refused to deal with Aaron Burr after Burr tried to steal the election from him in 1800.
Right, he can make him a figurehead, but he'd still be vice president. He would still get his salary, and he would still be vice president.
And if something happened to Trump, he would still be the president, yes.
However, now correct me if I'm wrong here, for his reelection bid, and again, a president doesn't have to run for another term. Coolidge, for example, you know, is notorious for saying he didn't want to be president anymore. But Trump is obviously running again.
He ever made him public, they always said. Nine words.
Trump could say, "Mike, I don't want you to be my running mate." Is that correct?
Yes, he could say that, and he couldn't do anything about it, Pence.
Right, and that isn't firing. It's essentially saying your employment with as my vice president ends at 11:59 a.m. and 59 seconds on January 20th, 2021.
Well, that's what happened with Lincoln with his first vice president, Hannibal Hamlin. He chose Andrew Johnson to run with him the second term, a mistake. And Franklin D. Roosevelt had two other vice presidents after John Nance Garner. He told Garner no. He had Henry Wallace. And then he told Wallace no and had Harry Truman. So, yes, it can happen. It's rare. Some people thought it should have happened with H.W. Bush with Quayle, that he might have done better if he had dumped Quayle, because Quayle came across as a moron, but he kept Quayle in any case, you know.
Now, he can do that any time until the ballots are not really printed anymore. The ballots are...
But he would have to announce before the convention, because they'd have to pick the nomination for vice president. So it would have to be known before the Republican convention.
Yeah, I guess the time frame is kind of tricky. You can't do it at the last minute. He doesn't have to do it yet. And you know Donald Trump, the man doesn't mind surprising people, so very well could happen.
But by July next year, he would have to, you know, he wouldn't have to say anything if he's keeping him, but if he's going to drop him, he would have to make it clear in the convention.
So he has 10 months. That's quite a long time. And as...
Yes, and I don't think – I have a feeling that he's very cautious. I think he's always cautious, Pence. I think you watch his – you know, the way he looks, I think he's keeping a lot of stuff in him, Pence. I'm sure it's like people who have a boss they don't really like, but they have to tolerate him because they want to keep their job. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, and Pence is not stupid. I don't think Ron would disagree. He is a smart man. We may not agree with him.
Stupid, of course.
But, you know, he's an attorney. He has a decent career as a politician.
A long time in the House of Representatives. Yeah. Yes, he was there for 12 years.
It's just a shame because there are many things about the guy that could be likable. He's also a good age. He's 60, a perfect age for a president.
Yes.
We just find him to be far to the right on a lot of issues. And it's kind of
a
shame.
And his wife, you would say, is the problem.
Yeah, well, I'm not a fan of hers. But yeah, it really is a shame, Ron. You know, you look at it, there are things, and he's from Indiana. He's from a nearby state. He understands the Midwest. That's where I live.
There's seven Indiana vice presidents we've had. Seven of them have come from
Indiana. It's a shame, you know.
It's
painful to say that Pence is not likable because there are so many things about the guy that can make him likable, but his stand on some of these issues, it's un-American. It really is a shame. But bottom line is, Pence is a bit of a yes man. He understands that even late in the first term, Trump could still be impeached, and I don't think Pence would mind being president.
But he won't be removed. That's the thing. It won't matter, as I wrote in my article yesterday, because there's no way the Republican Senate's going to convict him. So he could be impeached, and I think he should be, but he will not be removed.
But as you wrote in your blog on the 11th, Ron, Ivanka and Jared, who are pretty vocal with Donald, made it pretty clear they wouldn't mind having a female as vice president. And we'd all love to see a female vice president. Many advantages, and there are many good candidates. We, again, bring up Nikki Haley, to which I would say, well, I would think that would be a very good idea, as that would certainly provide
votes.
Others
that are not as good, like Marsha Blackburn, the new senator from Tennessee, used to be in the House. I think she reminds me a lot of a Sarah Palin. I really think she's horrific, but she's elected in Tennessee, and I'm sure she wouldn't turn it down either, Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee.
Let's just pretend that...
Or maybe Joni Ernst of Iowa, who's facing election,
Let's just pretend that Nikki Haley is being seriously considered. Ron and I have a positive opinion of her. We don't agree with everything, but she certainly is well to the he's a moderate, if not slightly liberal Republican. Plus, she's a female.
And she's easy on the eyes, as you would say.
She isn't bad, not bad looking, multicultural. Many things about her that
India. Her parents are from India, but so she's Asian. Yeah.
What I could say is, well, then that would be an interesting election, because then it's like, if a Trump-Haley ticket were to win, we kind of hope that Trump would just resign due to embarrassment or be impeached, and then Nikki Haley would be president. Neither Ron nor myself would object to a Haley presidency, and I think she would nominate a moderate person to be VP. Honestly, I think Kasich.
Like a John Kasich.
Yeah, Kasich or Weld. Yeah, and Weld. Yeah,
or Weld. Well, I don't know about Weld because he's challenging Trump, and he's also in his 70s, but certainly Kasich or Huntsman or someone like that.
Those people, well, they're all good choices, so.
But dream on. It's probably not
all I can say is, you know, I'm sitting here kind of dreaming that might or might not happen.
Yeah.
I would tend to think, though, that Pence is going to stay with Trump as he does get the social conservative vote, because Trump, you just can't really quantify what party he's with or even his stand on some of the issues. But it was
Pence is in trouble. He got bitten by a racehorse. Did you see that the last few days?
Yeah, well.
So we find out that he was bitten by a racehorse, and he never told us. In the year 18, he was bitten by a racehorse, and it left a mark. But why wasn't it reported before now? Some people wonder if he's making it up. It's a little weird to suddenly come out with that.
Yeah, well, it's it was Friday the 13th with a full moon, Ron. What do you expect? I mean, that kind of stuff. Kind of stuff's going to happen.
I couldn't believe he said that at this Republican gathering in Baltimore, where, you know, at the same time as the Democratic debate. I said, what?
But once again, we approach the end of our stimulating program and again wonder, well, what's going to happen in the election? It's getting more interesting by the day. And we look forward to the upcoming debate, practically in my backyard, of the 174 Democratic challengers and seeing what might happen.
I want to ask you, are going to invite any of them over to your home if they knock on the door?
quite possibly. You know,
would you invite Bernie Sanders if he knocked on the door?
I would probably go ahead and let him use one of my combs. I have a couple extra ones, so I'll go ahead and direct him to the nearest hair salon, as there are several in the area.
Yeah, I bet you'd love to have Joe or Amy come over for sure, right?
Oh, yeah, Joe would be kind of fun, because speaking of hair, would like to, if he likes the way my hair smells, because my hair always smells really good, so I could ask him. And Amy, yeah, she would be kind of fun, because we could, you know, she's from Minnesota. We could watch the Golden Girls, because the Golden Girls is kind of about Minnesota with Rose Nyland.
Yeah.
I'm sure she likes the Golden Girls. I'm sure she likes Walter Mondale, as I do, so I'm sure Amy and Amy and myself would probably enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, maybe Pete come along with his husband Shaston, say hello to you.
that would certainly be interesting.
Who else? October 15th is going to be, or maybe 16th. Might be both dates.
I guess Andrew Yang. I could say, since he has so much money, would he want to just go ahead and give me the $1,000 in advance because he thinks he's going to win? So I'll take his $1,000, and you know,
he would take it from him.
I'm not going to turn money down. I got bills to pay.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you said that. If you criticized him, now you would take money from him.
I got bills to pay. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not sure what to tell you. So.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, anyway, Ron, it's been a pleasure, as always, having you on the program. Giggles. Yeah,
thanks so much again for inviting me.
Wisecracks, prognostications, and whatever else we can manage to talk about. Yeah, maybe Elizabeth Warren or Bernie will knock on my door when they're in town. Who knows? If they do, well, I'll let you know.
I want to ask one more thing. Kamala Harris knocked at the door. Would you say no way because you made that terrible statement about ICE, or would you forgive her?
That's a good question. We'll save that for next time. Maybe I'll offer her a cola and say, well, I'm not going to. I know it's hot outside, but I'm not going to give you any ice because I know you don't like ice. So you can drink. You can drink your beverage warm because you don't like ice. So maybe.
And you know what she would do? She'd have that hearty laugh of her. I love her hearty laugh. She has a very fine laugh, you know.
Yeah, she would probably. She'd probably think I was funny, but that's good. You know, that's what we do. Because you know,
you are funny. You are funny.
Well, I'm a. I never take myself too seriously. Well, thank you again, Ron, for being with us on a fine mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor, and have a great rest of your Monday.